Whoa, it's happy Friday the 13th, everybody. Hopefully you're having a safe and a fun wrap to your weekend. Watch those ladders and black cats. It's time for some fun Disney talk, but first a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Work with the experts, work with the best, work with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. And if you're traveling or even thinking about traveling in early 2018, actually about the first quarter of the year, there's a great special out there. There's actually a couple of them. There's some great Gift of Magic room offers out there to save you some money if you want to go the room only route. And also, how about some play, stay, and dine? Get a little discount on all three of the components of your Walt Disney World vacation. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out that great special. See what it covers, what it doesn't, what dates are out there. See if it fits with your 2018 travel plans. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to be working together to plan a great early 2018 vacation. So check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1236 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And like I said in the ad at the top of the show, welcome to Friday the 13th in October. Boy, look out, man. There's black cats and ladders and all kinds of stuff that can get you in trouble today. But what will get you in the most trouble is not listening to today's Be Our Guest podcast. So check your, it's like the cloak, you know, like you're safe now. You listen to the show, you gotta listen to it all the way through. But then I think that'll cover you all the way until tomorrow, until the 14th. So anyway, hopefully you're having a great Friday the 13th, having a good time. Halloween's around the corner. Love that time of the year, getting to see the kids dress up and go around trick-or-treating. I just like taking Mallory around because I like, you know, I'm the biggest kid in the neighborhood anyway. So it's gonna be a fun time here in a couple weeks. But anyway, let's have a fun discussion to wrap up the work week here on Friday the 13th. And joining me today, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. She's over at TouringPlans.com and the Mouse for Less as well. Happy Friday the 13th, Ricky.
I have a question. I don't know if you guys can help me with this, but how does it work if you have a black cat on Friday the 13th?
That always,
you know, it's bad luck to have a black cat, but, you know, for them to cross your path, but black cats cross my path every day, so.
Maybe you're just like you're immune to it because you're so involved all the time with that superstition.
Oh, it's, I mean, he crosses my path all the time, so I don't know how this works for me. I guess my life is just full of bad luck. I don't know.
Could be it. I mean, you got a leaking roof. I mean, that's bad.
I mean, maybe it was your cat. But you know what? It was good luck finding him because he is the sweetest cat. So, you know, I'm so glad that he got to be a part of our family. So it's all good.
What's the cat saying? Midnight? Every black cat saying midnight.
It is Professor Snape.
Oh, what's that? I don't even know what that is.
Fam knows what it is.
You do a Disney podcast, you name your cat after some universal cat. What is going on with you? What's wrong with you?
Brian named our cat, so it was not me who named him. It was all Brian, and he had just read Harry Potter at that point, so that's why he named him Professor Snape. So.
Is he a villain? He is, right?
No, he's a good guy in the end.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
I would not want to sleep in a house with a black cat that's named after a universal villain, even if he was partially a villain. That'd make me nervous.
No, he's just fine. He's a very happy cat.
I just remember like when I was in, I want to say like third grade or fourth grade, we had a sleepover with my buddy Tim over in Delwood, Missouri. I still remember this. And like, it was right, you know, I'm older. So like, you know, VCRs weren't that common. Well, they had a VCR. We rented this movie called Cat's Eye. And it freaked me out, man. I think it was about some cat that went around killing people. I haven't seen it since. I just remember I was freaked out when I was a kid. Anyway.
I think you'll be okay if you watch it now. You'll probably look at it and be like,
maybe.
What on earth?
I don't really. I still don't like scary movies. I'm just saying. As we move into the Halloween season.
I mean, I don't love them, but, you know, I think you'll be, you know, if you watch it again, you'll be like, yeah, okay.
I keep trying to force Mallory into seeing Gremlins. Like, she won't watch it because I've kind of told her that it gets a little scary. But anyway, let's get to the Disney talk. Pam Forrester's here from the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday, Pam. No black cats, right?
I do not have any pets at all right now. So that's where I'm at in my life. I guess because I don't plan anything. Would make that kind of a challenge. So
right?
And this makes me sound, this topic's going to make me sound like I'm unorganized, which is, for those who know and work with me and love me, they know that that's not the case.
Partially the truth. No, I'm just joking.
But for those in planning my own vacation, I just don't have that luxury to spend the time on that. So if I'm going to plan someone's, it might as well be somebody else's vacation, because yeah, that I will do where my own kind of gets pushed toward the back burner. So yeah, that's how it goes.
And we've said that many, many times that, like, you know, I love helping people plan great Disney vacations. That's what I do. And I enjoy it. And it's such a fun thing. But I'm the worst at my own. Like, let me say that. Like, I love helping other people. Then it comes to mind, I'm like, I'll do that later. I'll put mine on. And then I don't, you know, so I'll be honest.
I have a trip next week, and I know I planned half of my FastPass reservations. I don't think I finished planning them, so I might want to get on that.
Happens a lot here, too.
All right, Ricky, so you came to us earlier this week with a, you know, we were talking via text, and we were having this conversation, and It came from a discussion you had with a coworker, I believe, yes, that just got back from Central Florida. So just tell us about why we decided to do this show.
Well, it actually sort of came to me in a two-piece thing. So the weekend before, I was at a festival, and I was talking to someone, and they were saying about how they were going to Walt Disney World in like a week or so, because they saw my credit card. I have, you know, obviously the Chase Disney credit card. So it's got Cinderella Castle on it. So they're like, oh, we're going there, blah, blah, blah. And, I was just talking with her. And she started asking me a few questions or whatever. And I said, well, you know, the one, she's asking me for tips. And I, you know, told her that the one thing that she needs to do is, and this is what I tell anybody who's doesn't know a lot about Disney, I tell them, go make fast passes. Like, I have to, you know, talk to them about what fast pass is, first of all, and then I have to teach them how they go about and make their fast passes. So that kind of spurred, you know, I had that in the back of my mind. And then I got to a coworker of mine actually last week. He went to Walt Disney World and Universal. And, you know, it was literally the day before he was leaving, and he didn't eat, like, he knows I'm the Disney person in the office. Like, everybody knows I'm the Disney person in the office. And he didn't ask me any questions before, you know, his trip. And the only question he asked me, and the only reason he asked me the question, was because he was getting in his car to leave for his vacation. And I was walking out with him, and he was like, so I'm going to Disney. And I was like, oh, that's exciting, you know? And he basically asked me what he should do. And I was like, okay, you need to, you know, get your tickets and make your fast pass. Like that, again, I gave him the exact tip. And, you know, literally the day before he was going, and he hadn't done anything with his trip. And, you know, so then after he got back and, you know, I was having a conversation with him, and I was overhearing him talk to a coworker, and, you know, he was basically talking about, he went to Universal as well. And he was talking about how he had a better time actually at Universal. And, you know, part of that, I'm sure, is he probably likes more of the thrill rides versus the slower rides, not necessarily slower, but you know what I mean? You know, it's definitely more high intensity at Universal as opposed to Disney. But, you know, part of me was thinking, you know, after having the conversation with this lady the week before, and then having this, you know, discussion with him, you know, is the planning, or, you know, is it too much? You know, Disney expects us to make our, you know, ADRs 180 days out, and half the time they don't even have their, you know, a pain point for a lot of people is they don't even have the hours posted for 180 days out. And, you know, we hear it all the time of, oh, when are they going to post the park hours? I'm making my ADRs, you know, so they've trained people that they have to make their ADRs, but, you know, Disney's not even releasing the park hours. You know, they're training us that, you know, we have to make our fast passes 60 days plus in advance. You know, especially if we want to ride something like Flight of Passage or Frozen Ever After, or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you know, we know, like, if we don't make our fast passes 60 days out, we're not getting on those rides. And, you know, you look at something like Disneyland, you know, I kind of compare the two, and yes, Disneyland is more of a local park, but, you know, theirs is only 60 days in advance for their ADRs. And I mean, half the time, you know, I think people laugh at you when you, you know, make 80 hours at Disneyland if you do it any more than a week out, you know. So, and obviously they still have the old FastPass system. So, you know, it got me thinking, is it too much? You know, are they expecting too much of people, especially because, as we know, you know, most people don't listen to podcasts like this. They just literally think, oh, I'm going to Walt Disney World, you know, just like my coworker and this person did. And they do very minimal planning and, you know, they don't know anything. So that was kind of the discussion that I kind of wanted to have was, is Disney expecting too much planning for people who, you know, a lot of times aren't going to be planning until the day they get to Disney for a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Obviously people listen to the podcast is, you know, we're doing the planning, you know, we have a lot of that down, but I just thought it was kind of an interesting conversation.
And that's why I want to have it here today, because I think it, you know, as a former educator, I think the solution to 98% of the world's problems can be put on a Venn diagram, according to what I've learned in, you know, working as a teacher. You know, got the two big circles, and where they intersect is kind of the sweet spot. So I think, you know, one circle we have, you know, Uber planner, the other circle we have no planning at all. We're going to find that there's a happy medium to everything. But the thing is, with planning, I think you bring up a great point, Ricky, in the fact that especially working in teaching, I think many, many teachers do plan trips to Walt Disney World. People in your office, you know, if you're an office worker, people in your PTA group, people in your community, everybody, you know, comes to you and says, oh, we're going to Disney next week, you know, and they have not done anything. And I still think they can have a successful trip, because I tend to, for my personal trips, I tend to plan more on the side of not planning than over planning. And I see a lot of people who do a lot of, like, you know, like I said on Wednesday, like with the Excel sheets, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. Okay. Here's what I think about this. And then I'll throw it to Pam and just get some initial thoughts. You want to always, you're paying a lot of money for a Disney experience, for a Disney vacation, whether it's a cruise, whether they're going to World, Land, whatever it is. You always, always, always want to put yourself in the very best situation that you can, whether it's with dining, whether it's with fast passes, whether it's with the resort choice that you make. You know, you want to be, if your trip's focused around Epcot, it's a great idea to be in an Epcot area resort. If you're at Magic Kingdom, the same thing, be on the monorail. You know, I think that you want to give yourself every single advantage over the other guests that you can, because that's not like gaming the system. What that is that's just being smart and being proactive and putting yourself in a great spot. But, you know, I think that everybody else, like, one thing I think you misspoke slightly earlier, Ricky, just slightly, because you said, you know, you won't get on Flights of Passage if you don't have a fast pass. You will.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to wait a lot longer, or you're going to have to get there like it way early and get that rope drop and run with the masses.
Yeah.
You can still do that, but it's a lot easier with a fast pass and gives you more options for the rest
of
the day.
You're right. I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So, I mean, I think that's the sentiment a lot of people have. So I don't want to take too much of this, but that's kind of my initial thoughts. Pam, go ahead and kind of tell us where you're falling on this.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I completely understand people's attention to detail in helping craft their vacation or plan their vacation experience. And they're, you know, bordering on obsessive devotion to, you know, gathering information and reading all they can and seeking opinions and whatnot. I mean, a vacation truly is an investment. It really is an investment of your money, of your time and whatnot, you know. It definitely, travel is the one thing that you do buy that, you know, makes you richer in so many different ways, as the saying goes. But it also, I think sometimes what people get away from, especially when planning a Disney vacation, is what really that investment should be, is an investment in memories, an investment in experiences, an investment in spending time with friends and family, or spending time with people you like, or being by yourself, an investment in your being by yourself and experiencing those things. And I think sometimes you get away from that because you get really focused on the minutia of everything. And that investment in you, in your memories, in whatever, is not dependent upon you getting the most you can do done, like checking it off a list. And I think that's where people kind of get led astray when planning a Disney vacation in particular, is that they're so consumed by, here's the strategy I'm going to use to be able to do the most. And I'm not saying this is wrong that everyone thinks this, but I'm just trying to point out maybe a different way in thinking about it. Like, what if your way, instead of thinking about it, was not doing the most, but having the best experience? And think about the way that your vacation would look if you just made that simple paradigm shift when thinking about it. So if what you were concerned about was not doing the most things, doing the most attractions, but instead you were focused on what's going to make the best memories, what's going to make my friends and family the most happy, or happiest, if that would be. And I think that if you start thinking about it and things like that, first of all, little things don't become quite so important. And, you know, a small variation in your schedule won't throw the rest of the day off, because you're focused on what's going to make you all the happiest, what's going to give you the biggest return on your investment in terms of good vacation memories, right? Mm-hmm. So that is great to think of it like that. But then in addition, it's going to let you really focus on what really matters for your vacation. And you'll find that a lot of this stuff just kind of falls away when you do that.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
Well, yeah. I think real quick, what you need to think about is you have the odds stacked better in your favor to have plans, to have good, solid plans as to what you want to do, and then deviate from them as things happen during the vacation, rather than to go in without a plan and just kind of hope and think and wish that this is going to happen. Because, you know, it's fine to have, you know, you really do. You want to have dining reservations. That's smart. And if you want to eat at Ohana, you want to do that at 180 days. I know that sounds weird to everybody else, to like Ricky said, that you're making a dinner reservation for 6 months from now. Normal people would just send you to some, you know, to the doctor. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, I don't know where I'm eating tonight, you know? And that's what a lot of people say. But I mean, it's just the game you have to play. I wish we didn't have to play that game, yeah. But I would rather have, if I really want to have a nice meal at Ohana, and that's something that's important to me during my vacation, it's worth that 10 minutes to get up early, 180 days out, and book it. And then, you know what, if I'm not in the mood for meat that night, you know, 24 hours before I decide I'd rather go and have sushi at Morimoto's, I can cancel with no penalty as long as I do it 24 hours in advance. So, Ricky, I mean, we've heard this many, many times in the Disney community that planning a Disney vacation for many people becomes a second job or third job or fourth job, depending on how many jobs you work. A lot of us work more than one.
Yes.
So, I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, to folks that this really does, Pam mentioned, I mean, it does. I mean, I've been there. It almost becomes
absolutely
an obsession, and you're spending more time at, you know, at work working on your Disney trip than maybe you are doing your real job. I've seen it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think that for those people, they sometimes feel, and I feel like you really get it if you really take it on as your like second part-time job or whatever, or, you know, first part-time job, or you really feel that Disney depression when you get back, because you're like, oh.
Yeah, you got laid off.
Over.
You're like, not only is my trip over, I just got laid off.
Exactly. You're like, well, now what do I do with my time? You know, like and that's when, you know, that's when those of us who are doing things like we're doing, we get sucked into the, let's find out how I can spend more time doing Disney stuff. that's when you start your own podcast
or blog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And our YouTube channel. Yeah. So, but you know, it is an interesting conundrum, because you think, oh my gosh, What am I going to do with my time now? Because you do spend so much time researching. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, look, I obviously love researching about Walt Disney World. It is absolutely 150% what I do in my spare time. So, you know, I'm obviously, you know, preaching my own worth here. But, you know, I do feel like sometimes it is hard when you get back and you feel that depression of, oh my gosh, it's over. You know, I don't know. There's not a really good way to get around it. I do wish that Disney did, like, if we're looking for solutions of things, I do wish that, you know, maybe it wasn't necessarily so far out. So, you know, maybe it, and I know why they do it, and I know that they're trying to do planning and you know, get things in order, but you know, I wish that maybe you made your dining reservations at, let's say, 90 days out or something like that. Or your maybe you made your fast pass, you know, 45 days out and then, you know, 30 days out. Or, you know, like the 45 for on-site guests, you know, 30 for off-site guests. You know, I feel like they could pare it back just a tiny bit. And then, you know, you'd have things like park hours set or, you know, right now I see all the time on the Mouse for Less group, I'm getting Rivers of Light dining packages. When are they going to be available? And it's like, yeah, sorry, Disney is really slow at releasing this information, but typically it's not being released until 60 days out. And it's because they're really not sure, you know, how many times they're going to show Rivers of Light that night, or, you know, they're not sure what. They may have a general idea of what time they're going to show it, or, you know, things like that. And it's frustrating for people. And I understand that, but it's hard explaining to them. Well, Disney doesn't even know the answer to that question yet. You know what I'm saying? Like it's hard to tell people that when Disney's expecting us to make the ADRs 180 days out.
Yeah, so. It's a tough thing because, you know, when I taught school, you know, we'd have a classroom discussion if there was a problem with, you know, a policy that I had in my class, or if we had a, you know, that my sixth graders had a gripe with something the school did in general, because they were the, you know, my class was always the leaders of the school. They were the oldest in the building. You know, we would have a discussion like this and kind of lay out the pros, the cons. You know, we'd make a Venn diagram. I'm not kidding. Those are popular in my room. But the thing was, like, we never finished the meeting until that we had possible solutions. You know, at the bottom of the thing, we'd say, okay, what could we do to solve this problem? So the thing is, I think you laid out some great ideas. But to me, the number of 180 or 60 or 30 or whatever, those are just arbitrary numbers. I mean,
oh,
I think,
absolutely. You know, and you're still going to have those people who haven't planned.
Yeah, it's going to be
I feel like maybe you'd have a little less stress on you if it was a little bit close. I don't know. It's just an idea.
I don't know. So let's move into the possible solutions. Because, you know, back in the day, Nate from Wedway Radio, Nate Parrish, used to joke that his methodology of dining at Walt Disney World was he would just go wherever he could walk up. I mean, that was it. He never made an ADR, and he would just eat wherever they had availability.
I remember those
that day.
Days. Yeah.
Those days are almost like long gone. I mean, you could actually, you know, you're counter service only at this point, which counter service is good, but there's times where you want to sit down. So Pam, you know, in a perfect world, again, the planners are going to be, you want to give yourself every advantage. And I get why planners do it, because they're ensuring, you know, they can probably sleep better at night knowing I have these fast passes, I have these ADRs, you know, I have these things locked in and guaranteed. I get that. That's awesome. But what solutions would you have if you had like a wand to be able to wave and you know, make it so that it's not such an overwhelming thing for some people?
Right. No, I get it. And I think in all this discussion, it's important for everyone to remember that we are not saying that that hope is your plan of action. If you're not going to plan, you hope. That's your strategy, right?
Yes.
What's your strategy for your Disney vacation? Hope. I'm just going to go there and hope I get into stuff. Well, yes. You're going to be sad. But no, that's not it. You know, you hope for the best, plan for the worst kind of thing. But I mean, that's really kind of how, you know, it moves in that space. But if I were to wave my wand and think of that, I think part of the issue would be if they could release the park hours and the dining around the same time. Now, I don't want to put it that 60-day mark because that's when fast pass and things like that start to happen. But how about we bump it to maybe 4 months and see if Disney has a better idea of how things are going? I mean, you really do have to plan, at least reserve your hotel, you know, in advance. That's really critical. And it's actually becoming more critical than it has been in the past. We're really almost at the point where if you want to get the resort and the rooms that you want, if you have something in particular, then you're going to need to book within, let's say, that first month when the next year's packages are released. Now, I'm not saying that has to be, you have to be there on the first day booking it, but you have to be in that first month because we're already seeing some limited availability for 2018 travel dates. So this is my nudge to folks who are thinking to go in 2018 and haven't planned yet, get in touch with one of our guests because you're going to want to do this. But you know, I think that would help at some point to do that. If we could have the park hours out at the exact time so that people can plan their dining, have that point all nailed down by the time the Fast Pass Plus comes around. I also think that if you know, there were some, maybe some on more on-site resort perks that might help alleviate some of that. When you think about planning a Universal vacation, if you're staying on site, especially at the three hotels that offer unlimited express pass, you don't have to worry about things like Fast Pass Plus reservations, because you're going to have that Fast Pass Plus experience at just about every attraction as you walk on. And Universal can do that because they have, you know, they don't have as many hotel resort hotels as Disney does, but maybe there's a way to phase that in using some of that space that makes that a little easier. Universal also offers things like priority seating at some of the restaurants that available for as a perk for on-site guests, in that, you know, sort of as you walk up, your reservation will be taken, you know, before others because you're staying at one of the on-site resorts. I mean, this is just another thing to think about, but this is one of the reasons maybe why a Universal vacation is so much easier to plan. They're very protective of those on-site benefits for their guests, and it makes it an experience that is easier for people. So that's something to think about. I think Disney, you know, I think as we have seen the integration of My Disney Experience and FastPass Plus, I mean, look at where we've come in a fairly short period of time. I think they're still tweaking how all this is going to, you know, impact guests on a day-to-day thing. I think when they implemented this, they really felt like FastPass Plus would take some of the stress away.
Yeah.
And in many cases, I think it has, because you know what attractions you're going to, you have a reservation for. And I think that's a relief, but I think in other ways it's caused a different stress. So, I mean, I think they're still looking at tweaking that and seeing how it's going to go. And I think there's lots of room for improvement.
Well, I think that's exactly what it does. It kind of moves the stress out to, like, you know, pre-trip, you know, when you're making your plans for, like, you know, your stress happens at 180 and then it happens at 60, you know, if you're staying on site and so forth. But I'd much rather have that than during my vacation, because I have, over the last couple of years, I have slept well, except for getting up to run, but I have not worried about being at a park to be there at rope drop to ride rides as many, you know, some days I'll plan my fast passes for like 9, 10, and 11 in the morning. And there's no reason to get there at 8 o'clock. I can roll in, you know, at 9 o'clock and know I have a little bit of a window to get to my first attraction and enjoy the morning, have a cinnamon roll, have a breakfast, you know, and it was always rush, rush, rush because I wanted to ride attractions before my Disney experience. And one other thing I want to mention in Disney's favor when it comes to being a planner, and one of the reasons why it doesn't hurt to hedge your bets and have a great solid plan, is because Disney has very liberal cancellation policies. So there's no reason right now not to have a room reserved for 2018. If you're thinking of going and you want to stay at Art of Animation, you know, in a Cars Family Suite, and you want to have a package with tickets and or dining, it's a $200 deposit and it's fully refundable until a month before that trip. So if you're thinking about it, it does not hurt to plan that vacation, get it on the books, because what that's going to do is your room is locked in. And now for that $200 deposit, you have the ability to make your ADRs 180 days and then plus 10 for your stay, all for that $200, which is 100% refundable until, like I said, a month before the trip. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really one of those things where you're not risking anything to put yourself in a great spot. And I think that's the biggest message I want to get out there, is that, you know, you may not want to plan that far in ahead, but I mean, if you spend like 30 minutes, you know, if you're thinking about going maybe next summer, just 30 minutes, think about where you want to stay, lay down some dates, put down a deposit on a room, and then, you know what? You can make your ADRs here in a couple months if you want to lay out a full slate of ADRs. But if you decide it's not for you, you just call up Disney, call your travel agent, $200 right back on the card within a week, and you don't have anything to sweat. So I think that's one of the things Disney really has going for them, is that really liberal cancellation policy. It, you know, even with your ADRs, as long as you cancel 24 hours in advance, no harm, no foul, which I really like, Pam. I think that puts the guest, it gives the guest a nice out, you know, as far as you're not locked into these things.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It really does. And that's the beauty of booking a, you know, a vacation package through Disney or through a travel agent who books directly through Disney is that you do have, I think 30 days out is a fairly liberal cancellation policy. And basically all you're going to lose at that point is, as long as you don't have like insurance or prepaid airfare, things like that, is that, you know, you aren't going to lose anything and as long as you cancel by that point. So that's something to really consider. And that's, you know, again, I'll say it one more time. Make sure that you're looking at those 2018 dates if you haven't gotten them nailed down yet, because I hate to see someone disappointed with that and not being able to stay on site when they really want to. So
yeah, and as soon as they start throwing out specials like they have for basically the first quarter of 2018, that availability just gets sucked right out of the system, you know, because you're getting better deals and people want to go. It gives, because the thing is, like, and I've seen this, Disney's running commercials on TV. So now the folks Ricky was mentioning at the top of the show who aren't listening to podcasts, who aren't reading blogs, who aren't, you know, us, everybody who's tuned in today, you know, they're saying, you know, they're sitting there watching their TV at 7:30 at night saying, man, we haven't been to Disney in our lives and our kids are, you know, 10 and 8. Yeah. We need to go, you know, and there goes a room, you know, and that happens quite a bit. So, Ricky, let's kind of put a bow on this. Like, where do you fall? I mean, I think we've kind of said that it's a great idea to have a plan, but I think it's okay to deviate from it too. But absolutely. You mentioned, you know, your buddy was driving out of the parking lot, heading down kind of into the blue, and God help him. I hope he said he had a little bit better time at Universal just because there's not as much planning.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the solution to this? What do we do?
You know, short of tying people up and telling them, you will watch this. it's difficult because people like my coworker, you know, they don't realize, you know, that there is so much that they have to think about. And, you know, especially if they're not working with a travel agent or, you know, whatever, it's even more difficult because they really have no clue that these are things that they need to be concerned about. It's so tough. I wish I knew the answer to how to help those haplessly clueless people who are, you know, asking me questions the day before their vacation. But I think that, you know, I gave him good tips, and, you know, I hope that if anybody asks you, you know, because you're the Disney nerd in the office or whatever, I hope that A, you don't overwhelm them, because then they're going to be so lost. But, you know, B, I hope that you maybe give them a suggestion or two of, here's how to help make your trip a little bit better. And even the morning of the day he was headed to Disney, he emailed me and he's like, what's the name of that app I was supposed to download? So, I mean, you know, he was asking, at least at least he downloaded the app. So I hope that helped. But yeah, I guess, you know, just giving people just a little bit nugget of information. And I hope that people who are maybe planning their first vacations or vacations of trips that they haven't taken in a few years are at least finding out a little bit about these new systems, you know, My Magic Plus, you know, ADRs, FastPass Plus. You know, I hope that they're taking the time and learning a little bit about that. And maybe Disney should be doing a little bit of a better job of explaining, you know, these are things that are going to be necessary. And maybe that's something that they're not doing, as well. Maybe the second, I haven't purchased tickets in a while, but, you know, the second you purchase tickets, you know, Disney emails you, hey, here's some things to keep in mind. You know, I know that a lot of travel agents do that, but, maybe Disney should be doing it as well. Just as a little, you know, nudge in the right direction for people. I don't know if that's a good option or not, but at least it would help those haplessly clueless people who really have no clue whatsoever. So.
Well, a couple things before we close this out, because I think you brought up a couple things. One, very important. You said not to overwhelm the person who's going to Disney who isn't us, because I think that's the hardest, like, you know, line to walk when it comes to, you know, like a teacher would come up to me and want me to fill them in on everything, you know, Disney World. And when they talked about Disney World, they were talking about the Magic Kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't even know that Epcot or any of the other parks existed. They didn't know there were hotels. You know, they were staying offsite. the thing is, like, you know, you got to really, if you can't tell them in 5 minutes, man, because they're glazing over. If you talk to them about, well, you know, you have e-ticket attractions and you got, your old Omni movers, you know, it's like, they're done, you know, don't talk about that. You don't just get, like you said, get fast passes, you know, and I think that Disney does actually do a pretty good job of educating the guests with, as far as their literature and their travel documents pre-trip. You know, they're really good about saying, go into My Disney Experience, customize your Magic Bands.
But I feel like that's only if you book a package. If you're like my coworker who clearly didn't book a package but bought tickets, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's always ways to improve, and I think Disney themselves are probably looking to do that, but I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, I got to give them credit because I see the literature they send to the guests with a package. It's pretty solid. So,
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, you know, this is a fun discussion because there is no right answer. There's so many, like, you know, you got your left brain, your right brain, you got the people, like, you know, I like to just kind of, I like to let things happen. That's my, you know, I don't like the plan. I like to see where the day takes me. And when I'm with a huge planner that drives them absolutely crazy, you know, and it's vice versa. Like, I don't want to be locked down to like a, you know, I don't want to be looking at an Excel worksheet on my vacation. You know, I don't care. You know, like, I just want to go. But some people want to, you know, that is their thing. So, Pam, last words, and we're going to close out and let everybody get on with their weekend. We'll talk about it on Facebook, though, because I love hearing people's thoughts on this.
Yeah, so it's really hard to ask someone who owns a travel agency specializing in kind of Orlando destinations how to help with this.
Let's see. Hire a travel agent who specializes in Universal and Disney and other Orlando destinations.
I'm just going to say that not all travel agents are the same. And I think it's important to work with someone who has specialized knowledge in the destination that you're visiting. I mean, I don't know much about, you know, African safaris. And if someone came to me and asked me to plan one of those, I'd refer them to someone who did know something about African safaris. I mean, I think that that's just good business practice and makes sense for everybody. Our agents absolutely have specialized knowledge in those central Orlando destinations.
Except
I mean,
don't ask Mike about Universal. Sorry, Mike.
Actually, I had somebody ask for a quote for Disneyland Paris today, but you know what? I referred them to one of our great agents who's traveled there. So there you go.
That's right. So that's why we have a team of agents who do have some specialized knowledge in other spaces. But all of our agents know about the Disney destinations for the most part. There's a few, you know, like Mike said, Disneyland Paris. We have agents who more specialize that than others. But I think the thing is that at our agency, it doesn't cost anything more to use our services. Our services are provided free of charge. And that's something that we still do. And we're happy to do that. That's, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. Disney pays our commissions or whatever they sell us. So it never costs you more to book with us. And not only that, we're really committed to helping you kind of find the best deal in what's out there, what's available for you. And the reason why is we've been in your shoes. We know what it's like to want to go back or to want to do what you want to do for the best price. Who doesn't want that? So we're sympathetic to that as well. So, I mean, I'm just saying, consider that. If not our agency, there's other great agencies that specialize in Disney destinations like we do. I just, you know, think about using a travel agent that does that because that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I agree because, you know, I've seen, you know, folks that do things that just, if they had an advocate, they would save money and they would have a better time. Like I've seen folks that are going down like to Disney for like a split stay, but what they do is they have like two packages. So what they're basically doing is buying those first, we talked about this on Wednesday, buying those first days of tickets again on the second package where, you know, somebody that's knowledgeable about that knows you load the tickets on the first package and book the second one as a room only. You can even add dining if you want, but you know what? You're going to save money because you don't have to repurchase those expensive front half of your Magic Your Way tickets.
Yeah. It's just little tips and tricks like that. that, you know, when we're called the Magic for Less, people will be like, well, your price is the same it is on a, on the Disney site. And I get that. But what we hope to do for you is save you not just money, because we'll always be continually looking for the best deals, but time and stress as well. And sometimes the saving money may not be on the initial package that you purchase. But it could be on the recommendations that we give to you. Like, hey, this dining plan would actually save you. I was looking, you're doing like 5 character meals. You have 2 kids under 10. This is a no-brainer. Yeah. This is going to save you money. Or, hey, you know what? I don't think the deluxe dining plan is going to work for you this trip, because you're not really doing enough, you know, enough sit-down meals that are going to justify that. So let's look at something else. But it's more than that. It's like, let's look at your ticket options. Let's think about this. Let's think about, it might help you think of things in a different way. And that's what we're there for.
Absolutely. All right. Here's the fun part. It's the weekend. So we want to hear what you had to say. So drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Where do you fall in the Venn diagram of trip planning? Are you in the left little circle there? And you're like, I love my different shades of my Excel sheet. Are you on the right where, man, I don't even know. I'm going whatever bus shows up at my stall, my resort today. That's where I'm headed. No fast. I bet you fall in that center section somewhere. But let us know what you think about today's show and your thoughts on all the planning that's required for a Disney vacation. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our great friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. So like we just said, when you're heading on the next Disney adventure, check out the Magic for Less. They're going to make it better, get you the best deal possible. They're over at themagicforless.com. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Don't forget, when you're doing your online shopping over the weekend, hey, Halloween costumes, it's almost time. Get them and get them on Amazon. Go through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help support the show. Thanks to everybody who is doing that. I appreciate it so very much. And if you haven't, please start using our link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online shopping. Don't forget, we've got a great Instagram and Twitter account. So follow it over at BeOurGuestMike and drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to turn you loose and hope that you have a great weekend. Stay safe here on Friday the 13th. Stay away from Ricky's cat. It's black and it's going to cross your path if you're in the greater Atlanta area. So watch out for that.
He lives indoors. Don't worry. The only path he's crossing is mine.
Okay, great. So. Okay, good deal.
Or Brian.
Okay, good deal. All right. So y'all have a good weekend. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing everybody an awesome weekend. Stay safe, whatever you do, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.